Thanks, everybody. It was a lot of fun. Okay, we are going to move into our regular calendar. We have communications items up front in which citizens get to sign up for 3 minutes on the council calendar to speak about the subject of their choosing. We'll take those first. Then we have our consent calendar and items on both the time certain and the regular calendar. I don't see any requests to pull anything from the consent calendar, which is quite short today. None? Okay. Again, welcome, everyone. If you're here to speak on a council calendar item, we typically allow 3 minutes, and given a relatively light agenda today, that shouldn't be difficult. If you're here to speak on a council calendar item, you need only give your name, unless you're a registered lobbyist, in which you need to let us know that at the front end. But you don't need to give us your address. If you're here to simply speak on an item, let our clerk know that you do want to do that. We always maintain the rules of decorum here, so if you agree with your fellow citizen and want to indicate that, feel free to give them a thumbs up or a wave of the hand, and if you disagree, a polite hand gesture to the contrary is okay, but we don't make vocal demonstrations here because we want everyone to have their say. So with those ground rules in place, let's please take item 903.
903, request of Rodney Wall to address council regarding homeless issues.
Wall here? Yes, good morning. Come on up. Good morning. Just swing that microphone over a little closer to you there. There you go.
R2D2. I can't remove the area. We will be moving soon.
Pull that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just pull that microphone really close. The whole box moves, so you can slide that whole box closer to you. There you go. Yeah, either one is fine, but just get close to it, please.
Okay. Although we'll be moving soon, there will be still homeless people looking for a safe place, warm place to lay down and rest, or a hot meal. Did we do our job, or maybe a day a pair of pair of pants after it rains. We move where these people are going to look for the same services we give out to them on a daily basis. Maybe it's your backyard. We all need to solve this homeless problem in Oregon instead of pushing all of us into the next state. So, never again.
Thank you.
Item 904, request of Tricia Reed to address council regarding homeless issues.
Ms. Reed, are you here? Okay, we'll give her another opportunity. 905, please.
Request of Rico Jones to address council regarding homeless issues.
Good morning. Come on up.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm on my way out to Vermont here soon, but I was here about a year and a half ago, if you remember very well, that I told you, if you can't handle the heat, get out of the kitchen. I think the only person that's really stepped up here is Ms. Fritz. I think you guys need to find another career somewhere else because you're really not doing it. I'm sorry. Look, I'm a native Oregonian, and we expect better than this. The last 2 years, the homeless percentage has went up 30%. I think in 2 years, it's going to be 60 if we don't do something now. I'm seriously really, I would think about putting more right to dreams to the city. About a year and a half ago, I took a trip up to Seattle. I saw Nicholsville and Tin City 4, and they are doing very well. I think we need more of that, because if we don't, we're not going to have enough housing for anybody. One, there's enough work for anybody. As we all know, things are rough for everybody. But I think, Mr. Hales, you need to step a little harder. You know, because you have control to do better than this. And you're a smart man, and I know you can do it. This needs to be really addressed quickly. Before we know it, it's going to be 4 years down the line, and it's going to be 75% homelessness. What are we going to do then? Really think about this. I'm going to Vermont, probably where our next president is going to be from. And I'm telling you that I'm out the door, and I'm a native Oregonian, but I am not proud of what's going on here. I'm ashamed. I've seen the city grow, and then now it's dying. Old Chinatown is dead. It's dying. Rent is so high, Chinese people can't even afford the rent. So what are we going to do to make it better? We need to find a way. We need to put more work in and more training and for welding or some type of work career. Truck driving, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, but, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You got to step up. Amanda's been amazing for our DD, too. She's been working really hard for us. And I know I'm leaving, but I want to say thank you. You guys got to step up, man. If you don't, we're going to drown. And then what are we going to do then? That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, item 906.
Request of Theodore Gilder to address council regarding homeless issues.
Good morning. Come on up.
Good morning, council. As you know, my name is Theodore Gilder. And my perspective and perception of the homelessness situation goes like this. I don't want to just talk about the fact that we have a growing homeless population, not just here, but nationwide. I'm going to talk about what I see is the problem with the homeless and where this homeless population is growing coming from. And I wrote down this real quickly, and I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to get it out as smoothly as possible in under 2 minutes. I understand that gentrification is a direct action of depopulation. Why do I say this? If those of us at the least amount of money, lower class and middle class included, lose their houses and rent places where they rent, they become openly susceptible to the poisons in the air, in the water, and food that corporations have paid upper level politicians big money to allow. So the depopulation process can begin. They figure those with real money are smart enough to live underground until the death of billions take place, creating a job and housing market for those that do survive. We are pawns willingly and unwillingly. The deception comes in the form of an alien agenda that doesn't happen. As I see it, it begins with a greater hierarchy, taking what they're going to take, collecting people, plants, and animals, seeds, to create the next world, which may or may not be here. These truths are made evidence in the fact that a former slumlord of New Jersey, where I am, where I come from, New Jersey, is now running for president. In the time of him being where he was, he's taken the people that he displaced to build his casinos. And now this man is now running for president of the United States. I'm noticing that all the different states that I've been to, that there has been a lack of strong education. Instead of educating the children, you're dumbing them down. Now, if these kids, children of tomorrow, are going to be future homeowners, they are not able to do the jobs, then they're not going to have the jobs. And if they do not have the jobs, then they won't have any place to sleep or a home which they can call their own. Therefore, adding to the homeless population, which doesn't help the fact that R2-D2 and places like them are trying to take the homeless people off the street and try to reinduce them into having housing and being what we call citizens, honorable citizens, where they aren't being harassed by people, places, and things. With that being said, That's what I came here to speak on.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, item 907.
907, request of Frederick Allen Maxwell to address council regarding the Salvation Navy, his 501c3.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales. My name's Frederick Allen Maxwell.
Have a seat. Fred.
Most people call me Fred.
Fred, welcome. Just pull that microphone down so it's relatively close to you there. There you
Thank
go.
You. I was last here to talk about asking the USS Zumwalt to come and head up the Rose Festival and talk about Zero Homeless Vets Act, but since Mayor Hales mentioned me by name and my cat not by name, in January's State of the City address, I thought you'd be interested in how that successfully housed former homeless vet. I thought you'd be interested in how that success keeps going. But first, Mayor Hales, Her Majesty Albus I has sent a message through me that she forgives you for not mentioning her by her proper name and title.
Thank you. Duly chastised.
But if you do it again, you're not going to be reelected. Since I last talked to the council, my estranged father died. We had only seen each other 3 times in the last 30 years, none of which went well. My eulogy is titled, My Fat Fascist Philistine Father. So I was stunned to find out that my fat fascist Philistine father had left me a generous inheritance. Given our acrimony, I was having trouble accepting Dad's money. Integrity and common sense demanded finding a common ground, some way to take our truly sad song and make it better. Well, Dad was a decorated non-combat World War II Navy vet. I'm a decorated non-combat Vietnam Navy vet. And the Navy likes to think it takes care of its own. And it generally does. So in that spirit, I've set up and funded the Salvation Navy, a non-religious nonprofit dedicated to helping house primarily homeless U.S. Navy vets and their family and keep them housed. The IRS has given us 501c3 status. You can find us at thesalvationnavy.org. And the Salvation Navy is simply paying forward Portland's strong social safety net, which helped and held me above water when forces were pulling me below. Transition Projects, Doreen's Place, Northwest Pilot Project, Sally Kirkland, and the brilliant HUD-VASH voucher program deserve all the help they can get. In the past 8 months, the Salvation Navy has paid for some classes, bought 3 new laptops, 4 air conditioners for asthmatics, and simply handed out thousands of no-strings-attached bucks did some desperately poor folks, sowing seeds of stability amid incivility. You are known for what you give. You are known for what you give. And honestly, I'm having so much fun giving away what I consider someone else's money. I was wondering if any of you were thinking of not running for re-election. All this is a way to explain that after 3 years of stability, I'm looking for a house or a condo to buy. Again, thanks for your help. And one more thing, this really does have a close to Hollywood ending. I live in Kearns. Thank you.
Fred, thank you very much. Good to hear from you, and I'm glad to see that you're still helping vets. We got some vets still outside that we're all working together to try to get inside, so appreciate you turning towards that cause again.
Sally Kirkland will do it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on, please, to our consent calendar. Again, I don't think there are any items to withdraw, so we'll take a roll call vote on the consent calendar.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, item 908.
908, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Metro and accept a grant in the amount of $650,000 for Boone's Ferry Fish, Wildlife, and Trail Passage Partnership Project.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to invite Jane Vicari forward, Don Bach from Southwest Trails PDX, John Mullen, Parks Manager for the Tryon Creek State Natural Area, Metro Councilor Carlotta Collette. And it's a great tradition in this body to mangle her name every time we introduce her. And as my colleagues know, we're also joined today by Lake Oswego City Councilor Jeff Goodman, who actually was born and raised in Southwest Portland. He's not on the program, but Jeff, would you stand so we can acknowledge you?
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you for being here. My friend Sam Chase once drew out on a napkin the sort of hierarchy of local government. He put Metro at the top, followed by the county and the city. I suspect if he were here, he'd pencil in Lake Oswego, then the city, so the city of Portland. So welcome. A few opening remarks. Mayor, we put this on the agenda because normally something like this would be on our consent agenda, and it would go unremarked. And because this is such a spectacular success and a successful set of partnerships, we wanted to put it on time certain and highlight the accomplishment and thank our partners for what they've done. The grant we're considering this morning will help fund a project that makes it possible for the city to meet regulatory requirements, increase public safety, and provide a link to an important community trail. The Boone's Ferry Fish, Wildlife, and Trail Passage Project has multiple benefits because of important partnerships with the community and other agencies. Today, we get a chance to thank our partners for all their great work and to learn a little bit more about the project. I'm going to turn it over to Jane, who is the Watershed Services Manager for Environmental Services. Welcome.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Good morning. My name is Jane Vicari. I'm the Watershed Services Group Manager for the Bureau of Environmental Services. Mayor Hales and members of the City Commission, before you today is an ordinance to accept a grant in the amount of $650,000 from Metro for the Boone's Ferry Fish, Wildlife, and Trail Passage Partnership Project. We're excited to present this project with several of our project partners today and highlight the benefits of working in partnership with community groups and other governmental agencies to build a project that best meets multiple goals. Presenting with me today are Metro Councilor, I'm not going to mess it up, Carlotta Collette, Don Bach from Southwest Trails PDX, and John Mullen, who is the manager of the Tryon Creek State Natural Area. Together, the four of us hope to tell the story of how citizen participation and government responsiveness can build a stronger, lasting project. And as Commissioner Fish mentioned, John Goodman, City Councilor from the City of Lake Oswego, is also here today to support our partnership. So this project is a culmination of years of planning and community involvement in stormwater management, stream restoration, and pedestrian and wildlife advocacy. BES has been planning to replace the culvert for Tryon Creek at Boone's Ferry Road for over a decade. To that end, we secured funding and did pre-design for two alternatives. One was a larger open bottom culvert, and the other was a bridge. BES's recommendation was to pursue the culvert option because that met our objectives for fish passage and conveyance. However, the community and agency partners asked BES to look for other options that would enable us to build the bridge because it provided additional community values, pedestrian and wildlife passage. So this ordinance and presentation will highlight the power of including multiple voices in project planning and government responsiveness, which is resulting in a regional project that benefits many. A few facts about Tryon Creek. The Tryon Creek watershed is home to ESA-listed salmonid species, including steelhead trout, Chinook salmon, and coho salmon. It also provides habitat for other native fish, such as Pacific lamprey and Western brook lamprey, and also for wildlife, including black-tailed deer and North American beaver. Just a little overview. The Tryon Creek is one of the five management watershed management areas in the city of Portland. The yellow line on this map shows the boundaries for the watershed. Its headwaters are near Mount Loma Village, and it flows into the Willamette River at Lake Oswego. Development in the headwaters and natural resource protection for the Tryon Creek State Natural Area are very important planning considerations when we consider projects in this area. BES's watershed health strategy includes stormwater controls in the upper watershed, and the blue dots on this map show where we've done some projects to address stormwater in the watershed near Mount Loma Village and also I-5. and in-stream restoration in the lower watershed, and the red dots on the map show where we've done some riparian projects through the state park. And the Boone's Ferry Culvert is in the white call-out box, sort of right in the middle of the watershed. This slide shows a couple of examples of water quality and stormwater flow control projects that BS has done in the more developed Upper Tryon Creek watershed. These projects have also been done with partners. And so on the left, you've got the Markham Rain Garden, and our project partners for this included the Markham Neighbors and Solve. And on the right is the Barber Boulevard TriMet Park and Ride project that we completed with ODOT and TriMet as partners. And these are a few projects in the lower part of the watershed. We've partnered on projects that include projects in the Tryon Creek State Natural Area to restore stream functions by protecting sanitary sewer infrastructure, adding habitat for salmon, protecting stream banks, and daylighting creek sediments that have been piped. So a few details about this project. The 140-foot-long culvert for Tryon Creek at Boone's Ferry Road was identified by BES and community partners as undersized and a major fish passage barrier in the 2005 FANO and Tryon Creek Watershed Plan. The culvert is a fish passage barrier due to the jump height for fish to enter the culvert. The culvert was further analyzed for the BES 2008 Capital Improvement Pre-Design Report, and the report noted that the culvert could feasibly be replaced by a larger open-bottom culvert with a natural stream bed or by a bridge. At that time in 2008, the community, and notably Southwest Trails, expressed interest in using the project to also bring a pedestrian trail under the Boone's Ferry Road at the site to complete the missing portion of the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego regional trail identified by Metro. And at that point, an alternative safe solution for pedestrian crossings at the busy Boone's Ferry Road area had eluded PBOT and also trail advocates. So some of the project objectives, this slide shows a couple of the problems that we've got in this area. At the upper end of the culvert, there's a trash rack. It's a concrete trash rack, and that impedes conveyance at high flows. And the trash rack itself is also a fish passage barrier because it includes a difficult jump out for fish. And wildlife are also deterred from crossing underneath Boone's Ferry Road through the culvert. And in 2013, BES secured capital funding to work on designs for conveyance and capacity issues and to provide fish passage in this area. And the project included designing for a trail under the passage, if feasible, and an advisory committee of interested parties and partners was established in late 2013. So currently have an advisory committee for this project, and it's made up of working partners. So we have several agency partners, which include Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and they are the property owner of the area upstream of the culvert, and they're the lead for the trail project that will bring pedestrians to the culvert in such a way as to safely cross beneath Boone's Ferry Road. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been a project partner since 2008 to study fish passage in the Tryon Creek system, and they'll continue to do this work. Portland Parks and Recreation manages Marshall Park natural area upstream of the project site, and this park is where the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego Trail crosses. The Portland Bureau of Transportation manages Boone's Ferry Road, and they work on community and pedestrian connectivity and will support structural engineering oversight for the project. And the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife are a technical resource for the group through representation on the committee. West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District supports work in the area by partnering with BES and Oregon Parks and Recreation Department on re-veg on private properties adjacent to the natural area. And Metro will be buying the project buy-up, as we call it, from a culvert to a bridge through the Nature in the Neighborhoods capital grant that is in the ordinance today that you'll be approving. Community groups involved in our advisory group include the Tryon Creek Watershed Council, and they work watershed-wide with residents on restoration activities and monitoring. And Commissioner Fritz was a founding member of this group. Southwest Trails PDEX, who you'll be hearing from, provides long-term planning and vision for trails as well as boots on the ground to get those trails developed. The Friends of Tryon Creek Park provide ongoing stewardship for trail maintenance and habitat enhancement, and the Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association provides input to the advisory group and will be involved in the project. And also there's additional property owners that live adjacent to this project that will provide input. So here's a little chart that shows you the two alternatives that we looked at in our pre-design. And so one was a 120-foot-long open-bottom culvert, and the other was a 45-foot-wide bridge option. I'm not sure how well you can see those numbers. But the bridge option is the more expensive option. It's approximately $800,000 more than a culvert would be. And as I mentioned earlier, BES's recommendation was the open-bottom culvert because this did meet our objectives for fixed passage and conveyance. But the project advisory group, advisory committee, and the community advised for applying for the Metro grant so that we could get the additional benefits provided by the bridge. And if you look at this chart, the enhanced fixed passage, pedestrian wildlife connectivity, and riparian zone and wetland values scored higher when we were looking at the two alternatives. This slide is just a couple of examples of bridges with undercrossings that provide more room and light for riparian plantings and space for pedestrians and wildlife to move. And the example on the left actually shows, I'm not sure how well you can see it, but this is actually a trail that goes along the side of that crossing. This is an overview of some of the near, it's a little bit confusing, but of some of the nearby properties and the connectivity considerations for the project. The area in the yellow circle is the approximate position of the culvert under the Baboons Ferry Road. And starting in the upper left and going to the lower right, we've got Marshall Park, which is a Portland Parks and Recreation property. And there's a current section of the regional trail, which is in orange, that goes through that. And then Metro purchased property, which is currently managed by Oregon State Parks. And there's a portion of the state park showing the new section of trail. So there's a proposed new trail that would provide additional connectivity, and this culvert is actually key to that. The undersized culvert that we currently have is in the right-of-way. There's private properties that are just below the culvert. And Oregon State Park's North Creek Trail, which is, I believe it's in the red in the lower right-hand portion of the map, is currently, it's very, the connectivity there is extremely difficult. Basically, pedestrians have to run across Boones Ferry Road to get to that portion of the trail. So this bridge would provide very needed and very critical connectivity to both established trails and the planned new trail in this area. There's also a regional context to this culvert, to this bridge project. And the project ties in very nicely with the potential uses for the Willamette Shoreline Trail. And that's the green line on this map. The blue line trail line is the culvert is, you can see the little call-out box next to the blue trail line. Council Goodman of Lake Oswego has been cited by the Oregonian as a leader in the effort to develop the Willamette Shoreline Trail as a bike-ped route, and while retaining the ability to have a streetcar at some future date. So we're looking at a much broader context. We're looking at regional connectivity and digital trust connectivity within the city.
Somehow cited by the Oregonian doesn't seem like a compliment.
Sorry.
The citation was dismissed, but the acknowledgement was noted.
So I just wanted to provide some background for the project. I'd like to introduce Metro Councilor Carlotta Colette to provide some perspective from Metro's.
Great, thank you. And thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for allowing us to come in and present this to you. The only thing better, really, than getting money is giving it away to worthy projects. So I'm very pleased to be here today to be able to move this project from a culvert project to a bridge project. I've been on the Metro Council for about 8 years now, and I think it was only a matter of weeks after I'd come on the council that Don brought me up to the neighborhood and said, this is part of your district, which I actually did not know until he got me out there. And he brought me down that hillside and up to that culvert and showed me what needed to happen there. And I really have to recognize Don and his neighbors and people at BES and in the city of Portland and all around the region who picked it up and kept it in front of everybody to make sure that this is an important project that gets done. When we look at our capital grants, they're limited dollars. In fact, we probably have one more year left of them. Thanks to the voters in 2006 who granted us the dollars to buy land, they also granted us the dollars to award capital grants for permanent methods of helping people and animals get around in our region. So this project is part of that. It's a pretty big grant in that kind in that program. We don't do a lot of grants that are over $500,000. So this is a significant award. When we look at why we would give these awards out, we have a number of criteria. Probably number one is the science. Is this important for fish and wildlife? Is this an important habitat project? And this one has that all over. This is a great habitat project. But then we also look at, is this the most creative way to solve this problem? Have we really looked at the most efficient use of our dollars? And with people like Don and others in the state, I mean, we had an amazing partnership working on this. And as Jane said, BES had solved the habitat, the fish, the connectivity problem, but not the people problem. So this one rose up to that level as well. This is a creative solution to not just a habitat problem, but also to a connectivity in the community problem. The other thing we look at is what kind of partnerships are we creating through these programs, through this grant money, because we're not going to have an infinite amount of grant money. We want to make sure these partnerships exist that have heroes like Don who will carry on and will keep looking at ways to improve the habitat, improve connectivity, create better trails. So the partnerships are really critical. And this one, again, it just ranks so high with having the city, the state, the neighborhood, the region. I mean, you have everybody at the table working together to solve this problem in the smartest way that we possibly could come up with. So from our perspective, this is a great investment. This is a great project. We have, local heroes who will make sure that it's done and done right. We have the city behind it. We have the state behind it. I'm just very, very proud to be able to say that Metro's behind it as well. We're here to help make this project the totally Class A project that it can be. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Don Bach, who's the chair of Southwest Trails PDX.
Thank you, Mayor Hales, commissioners. First of all, I want to acknowledge Jennifer Devlin's work on this. She has done a huge amount of work over the years to make this happen. And, held my hand and the hands of many others of us to get reasonable stuff put together that we can present to you. I'll go on here now. Southwest Trails is a citizen-led community service 501c3 group of volunteers, working volunteers, I want to say, which promotes walking and biking in Southwest Portland. We lead monthly walks. You can join us anytime, the second Saturday of the month, 9 o'clock at Wilson, organizing volunteer work parties. Next one's tomorrow in Dickinson Park, develop new walking and biking opportunities for working with the city, county, metro, and other state and the state planners. Southwest Portland has a long history of Southwest Trails, PDX, that's our official name, has a long history of fostering the development of a network of trails in Southwest Portland. This trail, which is number 6, which is the Hillsdale-Lake Oswego Regional Pedestrian Trail, and by the way, that's only half of the trail. The whole trail starts at 18th and Jefferson and goes all the way to Lake Oswego, a total of 12 miles. This trail will pass under the bridge, which was conceived in the late 1990s when the City Council adopted the Southwest Urban Trails Plan. And in 2002, Metro included the same alignment in the Regional Trails Plan as the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego Regional Trails Plan Trail. That's the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego part, not the part that goes downtown. Southwest Trails has been the primary project champion to include the pedestrian undercrossing of Southwest Boone's Ferry since December 2007. After a review of the city's culvert replacement pre-design, Southwest Trails contacted Metro about possible partnership and wrote a letter to the city to move the project forward on the BES capital improvement list. We also contacted the press for several favorable articles about the need. Southwest Trails has served on the Bowens Ferry Culvert Replacement Advisory Committee convened in 2013, which recommended the bridge option. It seems like it's probably 2013. That was about as long as I felt like in getting it done. Since the adoption of the Southwest Urban Trails Plan, Southwest Trails has sought and received funding from the Bureau of Transportation for and constructed several miles of Southwest Urban Trails network, many connections that would otherwise not be built. In addition, Southwest Trails has designed, funded, partly with a BES grant, and built a major stream crossing, the Rasbach Crossing, which is on one of those slides of Stevens Creek. It's shown in the pictures. The original concept for this crossing was $900,000, $1999 dollars, that is. It'd be a lot more today. Bridge that we believe would not be built in our lifetimes. We developed an economical alternative that we could build ourselves. We've also improved those parts of the Hillsdale Lake Oswego Trail that are on unbuilt streets right-of-ways. Hundreds of volunteer man-hours have been invested in improving the important transportation infrastructure to provide safer, easily walked alternative pedestrian routes to get people off our streets that have no sidewalks. In this way, the 40 miles of the Southwest Urban Trail Network and this new bridge contributes to Southwest Portland's part of the Vision Zero effort. I want to repeat that because it's really important. Our Southwest Urban Trails Network contributes significantly to the Vision Zero effort by getting people off the streets that don't have sidewalks. So it gives them an alternative way of going in a pleasant places to walk on low-volume streets and on these connections and trails we built. Our volunteer-built improvements are a start, but more expensive improvements are needed as use of the trails increases. Southwest Trails PDX board fully supported the effort to make the Boone's Ferry crossing of Tryon's Creek a bridge rather than a much longer culvert. It gets us out of the storm sewer, in effect, and also supports the Boone's Ferry Fish, Wildlife, and Trail Passage Partnership proposed to leverage BES funds for stream conveyance and fish passage with Metro funds for enhanced fish, wildlife, and pedestrian passage. With a bridge, we can design a much better trail entrance into the and exit from this, so we can be at much higher elevation and we can get onto the street much easier. This will result in having the trail closer to the street and make it easier for walkers of all abilities to make this connection. Southwest Trails has developed fruitful partnerships which resulted in many new connections to the Urban Trails Network. Evidence that Lake Oswego passed an ordinance supporting this many years ago. We've worked with Washington County in terms of our connections to the west and worked with Metro to put all this together into a comprehensive system. We will continue to engage agency and community partners to help fund, develop, and maintain trails and encourage safe, non-motorized transportation, which is our unique contribution to watershed health. When the Boone's Ferry Bridge over Tryon Creek and the associated trail organ parks is constructing are completed, this will be the premier long-distance walking route in Southwest Portland. About 5 miles of trails through wooded parks or on little-used streets. It will also provide a much-needed safe pedestrian connection to activity centers for many residents in the southern part of Southwest Portland. If you live along Boone's Ferry or Arnold or Stevenson, it's really difficult to walk north. You end up having to drive because it's not safe to you or your children. Once we have this route, we'll have an urban trail all the way to Hillsdale and downtown if people want to choose to do that. It'll get people to the places they want to walk. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, I'd like to introduce John Mullen, who's park manager for Tryon Creek State Natural Area.
Thank you, Jane. And thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for your time. Oregon State Parks has had a long history of working with the City of Portland, as you may know, and BES and other Tryon Creek advocacy groups. In part, we've been working with BES because there's a sanitary sewer line that runs the length of the park, as well as some branches to that line that run into the park. And Lake Oswego also has a sanitary sewer line that feeds into your sanitary sewer line trunk line, runs down to the municipal treatment plant down at the mouth of Tryon Creek and the river. The wonderful thing about working, my experience in 5 years here, working with BES, is that when they come in to move the creek over because of threatening the trunk line, they look around and say, what else can we do here? And that, from my perspective as a natural resource manager as well as a recreational manager, is a big plus. So I thank you for that, and I thank BES for that service. We look at this Boone's Ferry project as an area of regional significance due to its contribution to landscape-level connectedness and stream ecosystem unification. In addition, it will be a vital link in that active transportation, recreational trail users, as mentioned. But first off, a little bit about Tryon Creek. I take it I know that many of you have been to Tryon Creek. If you ever are up for it, you want to take a tour with the manager, by all means, get a hold of me. We do have a couple of things you may not have seen, and that are some national historic cabins that we received not too long ago that are from 1910-1912 era. They're log houses. And the Parks family, actually, he was a teacher in Multnomah Village. So some interesting story between Arnold Parks. You might be interested, and if you'd like, get a hold of me. We can go out there. They aren't on public established routes yet, so you would be able to come with me. As you know, Triangle Creek has a whole system of trails, including 8 miles of hiking trails, about 4 miles of horse trails, 3 miles of paved bicycle trail, 8 bridges, and a nature center, shelter for events. And, of course, every day the park is full of people recreating, both passive recreation as well as going to nature walks on Saturdays. School is just starting, and our calendar is booked up with our friends group as far as public and private schools touring the park and doing tours that are connected to environmental standards, educational standards for the state of Oregon. We also just finished up our Nature Day Camp for the summer. So it's a busy place, a lot of people using it, about 500,000 people a year nowadays, at least just coming through the front entrance, not to mention all the trail entrances from the neighborhoods. State Parks partnership with this project is based on our ability to build financial and social support for park development and operations and a long history of community trust to protect natural resources and providing top-notch visitor experiences. To that end, State Parks will take the lead on completing this gap in the Hillsdale to Lake Oswego Regional Trail. And we've mentioned this trail a number of times. The interesting to me when I got here 5 years ago was the number of places this trail has been cited, not to mention our 2013 Triangle Creek Comprehensive Plan, but the year 2000 City of Portland Southwest Urban Trail Plan, 2014 Metro Regional Trails Plan, 2008 Connecting Green Blue Ribbon Committee for Trail Selection, Hillsdale to Lake Oswego Trail, City of Lake Oswego Trails and Pathways Master Plan, and the Portland Parks and Recreation Rail Trail Strategy. I'm like, wow, this is like a gem of a piece of trail. And it's understandable when you look at the region-wide maps, there's this little piece there of half a mile that's not connected, and not connected for a good reason, because you're taking your life in hands when you try to run across that Boone's Ferry. The project, as has been mentioned, has had multiple partnerships and is well documented in our Triangle Creek Comprehensive Plan. And, of course, the State Parks provided advisory committee representation and input in BES's planning process, which identified and refined the project through the 2005 FANO and Triangle Creek Watershed Management Plan, 2008 pre-design, and the 2013 Boone's Ferry Culvert Replacement Design. In 2008, our then-director, Tim Woods, wrote a letter to BES in supporting of including an underpass in the project designed to be used for regional trail connection. OPRD also formally recommended to BES in 2014 selection of the bridge alternative to provide significantly higher standards of riparian quality and diversity, enhanced fist passage, and greater wildlife connectivity and safer trail passage. Now, BES talks about how they recommended the culvert. My take on it is, yes, they did, because of financial constraints, and that's perfectly understandable. But when we were on the advisory council and the consulting group gave us the analysis, and so many of the numbers were so much higher in all the qualifications of fish passage, pedestrian passage, habitat increasement, it was unanimous, if I remember right, on that advisory committee, that the bridge made sense. It's a legacy issue as well. The project, therefore, will recover lost ecological functions by providing the greatest openness ratio and shortest underpassage for maximum riparian vegetation and better fish and wildlife passage. Continuous, unobstructed stream systems are critical to maintaining healthy, viable ecosystems. Stream continuity is also essential to the survival of individuals and subpopulations of wildlife species and use stream and riparian habitat. This is especially vital within linear, undeveloped greenways in an otherwise urban setting. And one of the things, being the manager there, is I often get called by neighbors. So we've talked about fish, but we're often in the cleanup duty going up. It's a little nasty, but beavers don't cross roads very well. And there's quite a population in that Triumph Creek these days. And so they don't go through that culvert. And you can imagine what happens when they try to get across Boone's Ferry. As shown here, state parks spearheading design permits, construction, capitalization, and new trail assets, including 3-foot bridges and boardwalks within Triumph Creek. And the nice thing is we've had community support as well. I had a local homeowner in that community near Maple Crest to come forward with a donation to purchase one of the bridges for about $5,000 or $6,000, which will actually go on the piece of property that's Portland Parks and Rec property. Additionally, the project builds on many other restoration efforts, both up and downstream, completed by current partners and others, identified in Bureau of BES's 2005 Fan on Triumph Watershed Management Plan. For example, downstream adjacent private and public property owners have completed multi-year in-stream restoration invasive plant removal projects with support of National Marine Fisheries, West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, Triumph Creek Watershed Council, private landowners, SOLV, OPRD, the City of Portland. Currently, partners are beginning revegetation work on private metro purchased and OPRD lands upstream from the project. This passage partnership will include design and construction elements to protect the resources from adverse human use and impact. OPRD will protect the wetlands. We're actually realigning a current demand trail, what people have been using because there's no official trail there, that is in mapped wetlands. We're going to pull that away from the stream and put it upslope. Additionally, the project will include barriers and interpretation as appropriate to educate various groups and protect the resources. So finally, State Parks is an active, enthusiastic partner in this Boone's Ferry Fish, Wildlife, and Trail Passage Partnership proposal, and we are very excited to get this work started. Thank you.
So in closing, Metro has awarded us a grant for the bridge option with the underpass to maximize fish, wildlife, and pedestrian passage. So we're really thrilled about that. The total estimated project costs at this point are BES for $2.5 million. The community and Oregon Parks and Recreation Department are providing $30,000, and Metro is providing $650,000. We expect to do the design and resume the project this fall and hope to do construction 2017. And so the final parting shot, which I realize is a little bit blurry, but this is a remote camera that caught these deer underneath a bridge overpass. So you can see how we will have increased connectivity with our new bridge eventually. And I'd like to thank all the project partners and thank Metro, and happy to take questions.
Very much. Questions for this great panel. Thank you all. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Being here. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this item?
We had Steve Entwistle would like to come and speak.
Come on up.
Good morning, Council and Mayor. My name is Steven Entwistle. I'm founder of the Healing Man Sanctuary. And I'm also a whistleblower for the less fortunate in this city. I was born and raised here. I've lived here in October. It'll be 56 years. that being said, Mr. Don Back, I'm really impressed with his dedication to trails, saving old trails, trails that have been around since millennium, I guess, since the land that we took from the natives. There's also a good book that explains a lot of this history. It's called The Building of a Community, and it was written in 1976. That'd be a good little read for those that want to know a little more about the history of this area. Mr. Don Back, he loaded up my emails quite a bit over the years.
You and I spoke.
Which is great. I loved it. Yeah, and I was always looking forward to gathering up a bunch of people, volunteers, to go out and actually help do something. There's this project tomorrow at the Dickinson Road. I'm thinking about going out there and helping do a little bit. But any time that you save trails, you're saving habitat. And I think that's one thing that we really need to do here in this area, because we're losing a lot of habitat. I mean, and we also have a lot of able-bodied folks, okay, that are not being utilized. And it would be nice to see some kind of organization, some outreach even, for folks that would like to get involved doing this, and so they can have a more of an appreciation of nature. And like I say, get off the streets, get on the dirt. It's a lot healthier. It's not good to be on concrete all day. Anyway, I just want to say that this is a good thing. I hope that he gets more volunteers out there, and let's save the environment. Let's save some more of our area. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Any other questions before we take a vote on this? So we'll take a. It's an emergency ordinance. We'll take a vote today.
Novick. Ritz?
So it's been 20 years since we founded the Trine Creek Watershed Council, and it's really splendid to see the results of that collaboration. And indeed, the entities who are represented today were a crucial part of that and have been for the last 20 years. The Bureau of Environmental Services, Portland Parks and Recreation, and the Bureau of Planning were also involved as co-founders with me and Sonia Kazin and Liz Callison. And I'll note for my council colleagues, with the able assistance of Donna Silverberg, doing some crucial mediation, because it's not easy forming a watershed council where city and state agencies are full partners and full voting members. And it was pretty revolutionary at the time. And it's really great to see that the results of this collaboration. So I want to also honor Amin Wahab, who was a longtime watershed manager, and also Terry Preek Rigsby, who took over from me as the chair of the Watershed Council. She's also the chair of the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. It's just so many partners. So, Commissioner Fish, thank you for putting together this great presentation illustrating a wonderful example of citizens and government agencies working together to get things done with the assistance of the 2006 bond measure. So thanks to the taxpayers of the metro region for passing that as a follow-up from the 1995 bond measure. So it's good to know that we've almost spent all the money, because it's good to get it out into the watersheds, and we'll have to start gearing up for the 2025 campaign to replace it. And indeed, until then, we're going to need to continue to find innovative ways to do things and to do things better. So, and thanks also to Don Bach at the Southwest Trails Group and the Southwest Neighborhoods Inc., who've been wonderful partners. It used to be that Deep Southwest Portland didn't get much attention in terms of either pedestrian connectivity or watershed management and preservation. So it's good to see this project coming forward, thanks to all of the efforts that everybody. And thank you, Jane Bakari, for your leadership, and also Jennifer. And I should just name everybody in the room, because it seems like everybody's very supportive. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
Well, as I indicated earlier, we frequently put these kinds of ordinances on the consent agenda. And what we lose is the chance to celebrate what we do best in our community, is we come together across jurisdictional lines, work together. And I thought this was a conspicuous example of great partnerships. Let me start by thanking Jane and the Watershed Services Group for their outstanding work. The mayor and I recently took a policymaker's ride, and when we stopped at Crystal Springs, and a number of members of our team, Caitlin, gave a fantastic address, Mike Houck rather dramatically announced and almost got us to sort of repeat after him that the BES scope of the Bureau of Environmental Services mission includes sewer, stormwater, and watershed services. And we're very proud of that. And there are five watersheds which we have some a level of responsibility for, and we're very proud to be making some progress in this watershed. I want to thank all the partners who came here today, and I was a little nervous, colleagues, when all the praise started piling up with Don Bach. We're going to all catch hell for that, but Don doesn't rest on his laurels. He's already summoned me to a meeting, a hike this Friday, I think this Friday or next Friday, on the next project that's in his sights. And when Don has something in his sights, wild horses will not stop him from getting to the finish line. So I look forward to learning more about the next opportunity. And, you know, Commissioner Fritz said it so well. At a time of constrained resources, we can't do our work without strong partnerships. And, you know, people say talk about and celebrate partnerships, and it has almost become a cliche. But the reality is we can't be successful without working, linking arms and working together. And I thought this was a conspicuous example of great partnerships. And, Carlotta, thank you for your leadership at Metro, and we're grateful for the grant. Thank you, John Mullen, for being here and for your kind offer. I suspect you'll get some people taking you up on it. Thanks to Don Bach. Thanks to Jeff Goodman, who was here. You honor us with your presence. What's not to like? A watershed, a project which enhances fish and wildlife, a great set of partners, a cost-effective solution to a long-term problem, and a conspicuous public benefit. I think it's why we all are drawn to public service, because on days like today, we get to celebrate when it all comes together and it works. So thank you all for your service, and today I am proud to cast my vote as aye.
Hales.
Well, this has been a great presentation and great comments from my colleagues here about the substance of this. Maybe I'll take just a moment and talk about the politics of it. Our citizens, I think, have an expectation that this is the kind of thing that should happen. But often when I'm giving presentations or speeches to citizen groups, or often particularly to people who are either new to politics or new to Portland, I have to remind them that there are 9 local governments on the spot in which they're sitting or standing, and that that shocks people, maybe appalls some, but it is what it is, because that's how we're set up here. And both by public policy and public expectation, people expect us to work together. They don't really care that much about the fact that there are all those local governments. They expect us as public officials to work together. And this is a great example of that. And in fact, the public policy side of that expects us to work together as well, because we have a regional government. We have a regional land use plan and a regional transportation plan. And the public and policy expect that that extends not just to figuring out where the next road widening project is, hopefully not too many of those, but also how natural systems across boundaries should work, and how the park and recreation and open space system in the region should work for public benefit and for the preservation of those natural systems. So this is what people hope to see, but frankly, the partnership between Metro and the City of Portland and the City of Lake Oswego is one of the best, and the Tryon Creek effort shows that over the years. And again, there are great benefits to our citizens from doing this the right way, and great benefit in seeing the improvement of these natural systems that will come because of projects like this, as well as effective management of stormwater and a transportation system that includes our trails. So let me make this real from a recent example. Commissioner Fish mentioned Crystal Springs Creek. The restoration of that natural system has meant not just the return of salmon to that creek, but the fact that there are now beaver dams in the Reed College campus, and that they recently spotted a river otter there. So, Commissioner Fritz should be appalled that, as a Ducks fan, that we're accommodating more and more beavers in the city of Portland. But they're here, and in fact, as a parent who used to take my kids when they were little to Tryon Creek Park to have them maybe have one of their first experiences of nature, the fact that nature is, with good management, returning more and more to these places that were once abused but are now being restored is a great benefit. And there will be a lot of parents with kids out there saying, look at that. And that will be the great joy of this project for all of you who've worked so hard to make it happen. Well done. Aye. Thank you.
Mayor Hales, I just want to acknowledge that we've asked parents to use caution in bringing children to Crystal Springs because the salmon are spawning.
Oh, okay. It's a family event. Thank you very much. Okay.